Other decisions made or permits already granted by other authorities. Okay, so they're saying what will happen then with others that have already authorized. It's proposed that this section be expanded to confirm that prohibition restriction will not impact on amendments to existing authorization. This is also the issue I wanted to raise, but in a different form. Obviously, legally, if these weren't prohibited activities previously and they now become prohibited, then, of course, what has happened in the past can't be changed. I mean, you can't be retrospective. So it will only apply henceforth. But what did cross my mind was, what happens with, say, a certain substance, you know, a chemical or something or the other that we prohibit? You know, it seems to me to create an anomaly. It's fine to say legally people were entitled to have it before, so there's nothing wrong with them having it. But if it's an item you're now prohibiting, I mean, let's say, I don't know what, arsenic or something. I mean, the fact that there then is a lot of arsenic in circulation and existence that was legally obtained previously, it becomes very difficult to see how, one can get this thing into operation. Because if anyone then, if you say to someone, but you're prohibited to have that stuff, say, no, I got it before this act came into operation. And I was wondering whether there wasn't a need for a bridging clause of how one deals with things like this, where something wasn't prohibited, it now becomes prohibited, and to avoid that people undermine the new clause, you have a clause that then, I don't know, you maybe say people must come and do an inventory and record all the things that they have so that one has an inventory, something like that, at least so that when you prohibit something and you've allowed it legally to exist previously, somewhere an inventory must be kept of what was there on the date when this act comes into operation. And it seems to me we don't have a provision like that, which worries me then to the efficacy of this, whether it's actually going to be useful. Has there any thought been given to that? Ms. Garlop?
The section in the act, or the clause that is currently there in the bill, it says, the minister by notice in the Gazette prohibits or restricts the granting of environmentalist authorization. So before that could happen, there must be a listed activity. And so you will know which activities are legal or not at a time when this notice was published, because for those legal activities, they need an environmental authorization. And that is the reason why we wrote it like that, so that you, if a person at that stage do not have an environmental authorization, it's illegal. So it's the issuing of environmental authorization that could be prohibited or restricted.
Oh, I'm actually talking about a different clause. Sorry. Where's the clause about where we now giving the minister the power? Is it further?
Yeah.
Well, that comment, I want to make that comment then, okay? It's not here, sorry. It's at the wrong place. My comment applies to that new power that we're giving to the minister. No, this is just a, what is this? This is just where the minister, I mean, this is the point Mr. Morgan sometimes makes, is that shouldn't we get a list of mining places where people can't mine and so on. This is the similar provision to that, whether you don't up front create a list of, say, in this case, you don't even consider it. You're not allowed to consider it, where we decide up front. Okay, so that's a different type of clause. So then I think business unity here. Their point won't apply, because if anything has been granted, granted permission up to then, there is an environmental authorization, it will be now granted already. The minister will say, if anyone makes an application like this into future, you may not grant it. That's what it will really say. So I think they have the kat by die staart beet, as they say in Afrikaans, which is a dangerous thing. It will apply into the future. Okay, hold on to that one, eh? Make a mark there that I want to make my point there, because there it's applicable, it's not applicable yet. Alright, so that's not there. What's the next one? Still business unity, South Africa. What are they? What are all their problems? Although the comment period for members of public is welcome. Do anything never know. Well, that's all Paja. So we can note that. While the extension of the potential for normal stand beyond this sector may have some merit, the slope base is also such normal. Now, well, this is just, they're scared that this will slow things up. In fact, I think it will speed things up, because if there are particular norms that people should know what they must comply with, well, then it speeds up the whole process. That's what you should criticize the department, that they aren't normal standards, not that they are going to create them. No provision exists to regulate non-listed activities in a manner contemplated. Goes wider than listed activities, so it's not okay. So we note that. I think we engage on these things. It also concerned that the limited progress has been made with those things. Busa's view, adoption of some of these instruments could have addressed whatever concerns. A few environmental measures have been developed. Okay, put this in your resolution. I think this is fair, that concerns were raised in the submissions and by the committee members that a whole lot of tools, for example, exist, which could, if implemented, create a very balanced and flexible environmental framework in which things have to be done. The problem is that the feeling is that many of these have not been used. Kindly provide a committee with a report to give a more detailed explanation of to what extent each of these tools have been used in practice. Okay. Members of the committee happy? Report. Guys, happy you got the wording for that? Just so we get a report and at least see if this complaint has merit, so that it may be again that one can refer some of these back to the review process. You know, if they, for example, if they're not being used, why have we got them? Okay, Western Cape Provincial Government, on the top of page, whatever, 20, it's recommended that a new provision be inserted under Section 23 to create an enabling provision for requesting entities to undertake environmental and social reporting. What is that under Section 23? We're dealing with Section 24. What's 23 deal with? But in any case, if it's not in the bill, can we say that this then goes to the OK basket, the long term? OK to go to review, add to the resolution. Amend and in section 2410A. And in section 2410A. Is that a clause that is being changed? You agree with this? Okay. Which amendment is it? Clause what? Clause 4. That and listed activities, there are 4 listed activities. Okay. So you agree with that? Agreed? Amend? Okay. ACMP. It's appreciated the amendment promote efficient decision making data. However, the new provision does not provide clarity on time frame for the minister to, well, you can't. No time frame for the minister to take a decision. It's noted that norms and standards would apply to both listed and not clear why non-listed require inclusion in standards. Okay, so that we've already dealt with. Noted. All right. Section 24, however, previously failed to allow for usage of instruments such as normal standards that do not fall within the inclusion in 24F. Any applicable normal standard developed in terms of 24.2 is appreciated and we trust that implementation. 24F. What about 24F? We're not looking at 24. Oh, there. Section 24F and then is hereby amended to include the words any applicable norm and standard developed in terms of Section 24.10. Well, are they asking for an amendment? Yes. This is not where they dealt with the waste protocol, eh? So what are we saying? What is the department saying about the waste protocol they raised? Put this in the review and review and also in the resolution. attorneys, the change to the heading of this section is supported. The general import of the proposed amendment by the insertion is supported. Section 24.2 of the Constitution provides, whereas the proposed section says human health and well-being, but the Constitution says all well-being. The anomaly must be corrected to resonate with the constitutional provision. Okay, well, what is your comment? Agree. Amen. Okay. The proposed public participation provided in the envisaged section may be against inadequate now submission, not complaint. Applicable here. Yeah, I think a different issue applies, and that is you're not making a decision. Well, you are making a decision, but it's really subordinate legislation. What they're saying is that basically by providing a separate provision, and this is a later piece of legislation, you're amending the rights people may have in terms of paja. Yeah, but that's the point. The point is Paja, they're saying Paja allows people more rights. And because of the presumption that exists that if you pass a later piece of legislation that may be in conflict with the previous piece of legislation, the latter piece of legislation then replaces the other. And that becomes the law. And they may have some validity there. Not as far as the first two clauses are concerned, where you consult ministers and where you consult MSCs. But when it comes to the consulting of, unfortunately, you've not, sub three, when it comes to consulting, has someone got a copy of Pajaya? Does it give any more rights to, because you see, you know, what I'm a bit worried here, we must be a bit careful, because an administrative action is when you're acting in terms of legislation. Here, you're actually drafting, you're really creating subordinate legislation. Which case? There's the other case as well, the one where there was a three-way split in judgment. What's it called? The one where Arthur Chesselson gave one judgment, another one, and then Mosoneke gave a third one. Mosoneke gave the... I think there about five judgments. It's called the one that deals with the health regulations. Is it Nucleix? Yeah, but that one is okay because Arthur Chaskelson expressed one view that this falls under Pacha. Albie Sachs said, no, it does not. It's a legislative administration. And I agree with Albie. And then all the other judges, well, Pius Lange and those guys all said, we agree with Chaskelson, but only for these regulations, not in general. And then Mosenega gave the third judgment that said, well, you don't have to decide any of those issues. So, I mean, that issue has not been decided. So, as you say, it's definitely the judges did have different views on it. Then maybe sub 3 doesn't apply, because what is an affected person in that case? How will you define an affected person? If you're saying, we're now excluding all these areas from any authority giving authorization on them, therefore they can't be given. I mean, who would be your affected person that you comply with beforehand? That clause is a nothing clause.
Chairperson, there are various scenarios, but I'm going to use one example. Say, for instance, and it may not even now be a listed activity, but say it's a listed activity under the National Environmental Management Act. Certain petrol stations, and you have an area where there are now more, the area is basically saturated for that activity. Say, for example, a petrol station, and you want to not allow for the time being more petrol filling stations in that area. It's actually to then prevent people from applying, because if you apply, you have to go through a whole process, and there are a lot of costs involved.
Yeah, but I'm asking, you see, who's an affected person there?
Maybe any.
It's actually every single human and being that may want to open up a garage. So, I mean, to put a clause that says, publish a notice. I don't know if you can do any more than that. I don't even know if it's worth doing that, but if you're doing it, I'm not sure you need to do more. Because, I mean, there's no one that has got any rights or anything in it. It's someone that may want to, in the future, apply to authorization to say this will be excluded. So, I mean, once you make a decision then, which is not this part of the process, at the other part of the process where you want to ask for an authorization, I suppose someone can go to court and then tackle and say, but we say this legislation is illegal, it's unconstitutional because it's limiting us to do, but then you tackle that at that stage. You tackle it at the stage when a decision is made that they can't grant an authorization, which is that's when your rights are affected. It's that decision that affects your rights. No, I think there's not much more that can be done than this. And because of the uncertainties that exist because of that judgment, I call it something else. I don't call it new clicks. Why do you call it new clicks? Is it new clicks or the Minister of Health? Okay. Okay, so I just call the Minister of Health one. Okay. Okay. Then I don't think we need to go further with this. This is actually adding writers. It's not subtracting them. Case with all legislation or subordinate, so that doesn't add anything. Publication in the Gazette will not come to the attention of the vast majority. Well, that may be so. You can use other mechanisms, but this is the minimum at least what you have to do. There has to be a minimum that you have to do. It's consequently proposed that section be amended to ensure that notice of the proposed provision will also be brought to the notice of the board. Well, that is there. The legal way of doing it is through a gazette. Of course, if the department does other things, that will only be extra. That will be good. You can't legislate for it. Okay. Anything else on section 4? Let's see what else I wrote here. From when become applicable? What about the present case? Become applicable from once the minister has placed it in a notice. From then on it will be prohibited, from then on you won't be able to grant it. Did we spell out here, or does the Act spell out what will happen in a case like this where the minister, the national minister, prohibits you from giving an authorization on a particular thing? Restricted or listed or whatever they call it. What happens if another authority doesn't comply with it? Other than going to court, of course. But it's not good for one government department to take another government department to court because it didn't comply with the law. Isn't there or shouldn't there be a mechanism that we create? What will happen in a case like that? That's a fluffy, woolly thing that means nothing. I mean, that thing, I know what you're talking about. It's the one that says you must love other governments, you must talk to each other, you must hug each other every morning. But it doesn't say anything what will happen when you don't do it. Is there any mechanism and tool in this where something like this, where it's not complied with? Shouldn't we have a clause to say it'll be null and void? That if an authority does make such a decision, to make it very, very clear in law that this will have no legal effect. Just flag that and have a look at it. see, you want to make sure that should we not say authorization to country is now void. Okay. Members happy if we have a look at that? Just to check. Okay. Then, so that is section 4, which is your section with the prohibition and the norms and standard being extended. The next one is 5, which is 24C. Center for Environmental Rights says, we do, however, reiterate our concerns about the additional administrative burden on national endeavor. The minister takes a decision and appeal against that decision would now lie against, I can't see the next line, further increasing the burden. We assume that these implications are fully considered. First, making also like that. If there is retained, it should not be on application. Possibility then exists that the partner will not have sufficient space to deal. Limitations for when this may occur would be built into provision. Alternatives should be deleted. No. So what do you want to delete? Oh, you. That's the MSC clause. Okay. Well, let's wait for that. We'll get there. Okay. So that's that comment. Noted. Business unity approach many words will allow an applicant to apply the minister and serve when an MC committee fails to take a decision within the prescribed time period as well. However, efficient decision making, should be strived for so that an applicant does not have to waste time. If time period is added, an additional capacity will be needed, yeah. So that's not it. Western Cape? Ow! Whose phone is that? Listen, I know it's very important that you keep your phone on because I know the president's going to call you at any moment to personally inform you about what he wants you to do next. But try and be like the rest of us and just be offline for a little while. I know you're busy and so on, but still, you know. The deletion of the exclusion raised concerns about a very wide interpretation of will take place within an area protected by means of an international environmental instrument. Because the definition of an environmental instrument is widely defined as means by international agreement. Could it, for instance, be argued that some of the things regulated in the biosphere reserve will now have to be decided by national? In addition to... Oh, yeah. Okay, that's the removal of all these words here. Can you explain to me why is it we're removing those words? I'm also interested in this question the Western Cape raises. I was looking at it when they were here the other day and they was raising this and I didn't have a... Now put here, why remove? Question mark. Just explain why it's important to remove that.
Chair, I'm assuming you're talking about section 24C and all the deletions.
Yeah, that deletion there which says other than.
Yes. To make a long story short, all of those aspects will be covered by B, which refers to an international environmental instrument. If you, for instance, look at protected natural environment, the proclaimed private nature reserve and natural heritage site, all of those would be regarded as falling within an international environmental instrument. So it's actually duplication if you mention all of them separately. They're already covered.
I don't understand that. Okay, let me just look at the section itself. What section is 24C? I'm looking here at Ms. Darwood's document with all the amendments to the bill. Okay, when listing was specifying activities activities in section 24(2), the minister or MSC with the current must identify the competent authority responsible for granting environmental authorization in respect of those activities. The minister must be identified as the competent authority in terms of if the activity has implications for international environmental commitment relations will take place in an area protected by means of an environmental that has development footprint. But previously, that was not necessary to fall under national. I mean, you've not explained to me why it now has to fall under national. What would the reason be?
Chair, I think I need to correct myself. I think what initially started with 24C is the word other than created a lot of confusion. If you see the first two words that are deleted are the words other than, and that created a lot of confusion and uncertainty with both authorities and affected applicants and proponents as to what falls within the scope of national and what falls within the scope of provincial. What our argument is that if something is subject to an international agreement, national should be the competent authority. If it doesn't fall within the scope of that, then province should be the competent authority for that.
So it was wrongly put there the first time. Because what it did was it took part of international agreements and removed it from national. Describing a competent authority. Who will be the competent authority? Mr. Morgan, you want to say something?
Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is they when they excluded it was wrong. Because clearly international agreements have to be dealt with them. They then excluded some parts of it. Now the province are exercising it and they not exercise it. They can't answer for it. That's why they want to remove it. So it seems to be they're suggesting it's a mistake that was made when there was legislation was drafted. The other way that this could maybe, you see, of course the problem now is, as things stand now, from 2009, these things we're now deleting have been exercised by provinces and not by national. So you'll have to create a capacity national, and then the capacity has to disappear in the provinces because you don't need it anymore. So that will be the effect of an amendment like this. So it's got quite some implications. So the other possibility we can look at, and you must, I'm really just throwing something in here, is that maybe to look at some of these, that it will be better for the province to actually do it, but to do it in concurrency with you, if I know what you mean, so that you at least retain the agreement on how it must be done. That's one possibility of how to deal with it, not just to change it overnight, the legal position of from what it was. That would be an in-between kind of compromise at one. But then one will have to go and identify which of these, like this Floral Kingdom may be an example where you would want the province to do it, but do it closely and in consultation with the national. That is one way of doing it, so you don't completely remove it from the province who has now got the capacity. So that's another possibility. Mr. Abada? No, I see that, and I can see, I don't think, the argument is not going to be whether your position now is right. Your argument is going to be the problem that was created previously when you removed this and gave it the province. That's more the implication we have to look at. I don't think, I mean, you know, it's very clear when you say, when it comes to international issues, you guys should have. Now, the problem is, unfortunately, someone, I don't know if you were the boss then or someone, then removed this. Now a whole capacity has been created in the province. In some instances, it may not be a bad thing because that thing is specifically in that province. So that's really the balance we have to look at. I personally, other committee members can talk for them. I have no problem with what you're saying, why you want to change it. But for me, the implications of now changing it at this stage, when for 2-3 years there's been another legal regime, that is really what I'm trying to soften in the process. I mean, the Western Cape made the point, and I mean, I thought they were overstating it, but that is a worry they have, and one can't ignore it. You know, why suddenly now do you want to remove it? It looks like you want to remove it from particularly provinces like us, you know. And that's the way that they're looking at this suddenly, why there's a legal change in how you see the matter when A was there always. It was there when you put B there, if you know what I mean. And so the guys then made a mistake. But now, I'm really looking at if there's not something that we can do to try and soften this thing and see if there can't be cooperative governance created, not a complete removal from the provinces. Should they look at something like that, members? Or not at all? What's it, Mr. Bob? I think it is. I mean, it's a completely removing these. If it comes out of an international agreement, if that Floral Kingdom falls under an international, and that's how they exercise their power, then clearly that's going to be removed, as you're saying. not even the Western Cape, all nine provinces. So you can add wherever there are other heritage sites, at least heritage sites, it can be more international agreements that also.